Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And it's our pleasure to welcome in a two-time Emmy Award-winning Bucks TV analyst, a five-time NBA All-Star, did also play at UCLA and won a national championship. That's Marcus Johnson here with us on the Zach Yelp Show. Marcus, appreciate the time. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Everything is, good, all things considered. I can't complain. Get ready for some basketball, family.
Yeah, from your lips to God's ears, can't wait to see what's going to happen in the NBA bubble. I saw a video back in February. You were wearing a Kobe Bryant jersey, and you actually threw it down, and you wrote, "I'm still dunking at 64 years old." Have you been dunking at all during the pandemic, or was that a one-time thing at 64?
Just Krispy Kreme donuts, man, and some hot chocolate.
You must have been nervous, right?
Well, every year around my birthday, I do a dunk just to see if I can still do it. I didn't plan on doing it this year. I was just going to chill out. But my son, Josiah, who's a social media icon, he's like, "Dad, we got to do this. Can you still get one in? I'm like, "Hey, we can go out here and try it." And so, of course, I did a couple of warm-ups. It felt pretty good. And so we decided to have some fun, brought out the two tackles, paying homage to – Taco Fall and whoever jumped over him, Aaron Gordon, whoever it was, and jumped over him. So, we have fun. When I told you last year, next year I'll be 65. That's the official retirement age. I'm going to retire this dunk. I'm trying to gear up to do one more at 65 years old and then kind of put it to bed after that.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I can't even dunk right now. I can't imagine being able to dunk when you're in your 60s. Marcus Johnson here with us on the show. When we look at this NBA restart, we know that the Bucks are the best team in the league from a record standpoint right now. They're going to be the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. These eight games inside of the bubble, what do you look for out of them where they could really ease themselves back into playing shape?
Well, and that's a great question. I was just kind of pondering that, looking at the Bucks play their scrimmage against New Orleans the other night. And, I just don't think that teams should put too much into these eight seeding games. It's a gradual buildup. You want to be playing your best basketball, obviously, when the playoffs start. This is such a weird, crazy, different type of an experiment for all these guys. And so, I've seen positives from the Bucks. I've seen some not so good things from the Bucks in terms of kind of fighting through some difficulties against the Pelicans the other night. But the seeding games, Coach Budenholzer loves to compete. He's going to want these guys to come out and just show effort, show competitiveness, show some fire. But I'm not sure that the won and loss record is that important at this stage of the game. It's all about kind of a slow, gradual buildup and then exploding once the playoffs get here.
When you look at the team from last year to this year, what do you see as the biggest difference as they even got better from what they were last year, which was impressive?
Well, I mean, we've added Wes Matthews III. So what he has done, Zach, he's given Chris Middleton a breather at the defensive end. So Chris, I was just looking up Chris's defensive ranking. He's like 107th overall, 22nd ranked small forward. You got LeBron and then Kawhi and guys like that at the top. But Chris doesn't have to exert all that energy trying to be this great 3-and-D wing player. And now he can focus on his offense. And now what's the end result? Chris becomes one of seven or eight guys who was trying to shoot, you know, 40% from the three-point line, 50% plus from the field, and 90% from the free throw line. I think 20 points a game. So I think that's going to direct benefit to Chris Middleton. And then Eric Bledsoe also, let's not forget him. Last year he struggled big time. Last couple of years in the playoffs, quite honestly, he struggled big time in the playoffs. This year he seems to be a lot more comfortable in his basketball skin. Now, of course, he's kind of getting a late start based on testing positive and quarantine and all that. So how quickly he can kind of get back into a rhythm and flow is going to be a big difference. But defensively, I think this team has gotten even better. Brook Lopez, the addition of Robin, has really been a great move by John Horst, our president, bringing Robin Lopez. And now we've got two of the better defensive centers in the league. So I think the defense has been even better than a great defensive team from last season.
Marcus Johnson here with us. It's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, doing a little bubble breakdown on the Milwaukee Bucks. Nationally, the big question about Chris Middleton is, can the Bucks win it all with him being the Bucks' second-best player? He's a two-time All-Star. Give me the local feel on that. Are people still concerned locally about Middleton being that number two piece and winning a championship this year?
Well, it depends on where you go. I can go to a barbershop in the hood, and the brothers will give you a little antsy about, depending on Chris to have the huge games. But in terms of inside basketball people that have watched Chris closely like myself, I really believe with Chris it's all about his confidence. Being an All-Star for the second consecutive year, I think really helps his belief in himself as being one of the elite players in the league, and definitely one of the elite shooters in the league. And you couple that with the fact that he comes back. I mean, he's got some guns for arms. He's got this definition I've never seen before, that his body fat is probably way down. He looks really good, really in great shape. I think Kyle Korver talked about his explosion and bounciness coming back after the 3 or 4 months off was really, really surprising. So he's really put in the work during this time off to come back and make himself better physically. So, but with Chris, again, mentally, I think, against Toronto last year, he averaged with just under 14 points, had 41% from the field, and he left Kyle Lowry defend him for a big chunk of those minutes in that six-game loss to the Raptors after being up 2-0. So he's got a lot to prove, but I think based on what I'm looking at in terms of his body, where he is physically, where he is mentally right now, I think he's ready to make that statement.
When I look at the Eastern Conference, I really do fully expect Milwaukee to get to the finals. They were in that one seed spot last year, did not get there. When you look at the Eastern Conference this year, who's the biggest challenger for the Bucks when the season resumes tomorrow night?
It's really interesting. You've got some. I think three really legitimate teams. Now, Miami's in that mix also. You can't count out Eric Spoelstra and Jimmy Butler as your lead guy. But I think you're still a little bit young with Hero and Nunn and guys like that. And even Bam Adebayo, maybe just a little bit young and not ready. But I really believe it's the Celtics, man. I mean, people talk about the Raptors, who I respect a lot. Nick Nurse is a great coach. But Brad Stevens is a great coach. But you look at 1 through 4 in terms of scoring and issues and problems. You know, Jason Tatum has supplanted Kemba Walker as the number one option. But that 2 through 4 group, these guys are producing, I think, about 59 points a game. And that's the most since Golden State a couple of years ago, but the most since, like, second most since 1995 in terms of 2 through 4. And when Gordon Hayward is your fourth option, you know what I'm saying? Gordon Hayward is your fourth option. And then we talk about Jason Tatum, how great he's been, but, man, this Jaylen Brown, I'm watching his footwork. I'm watching the rip-throughs, the spins, the finishes in traffic. He's a guy that can be a real problem for a team like the Bucks. And then the wild card would be Marcus Smart, who defends Giannis. Even though Marcus Smart is 6'3", 6'4", Giannis 6'10", 6'11", Marcus Smart kind of gets up underneath bigger offensive players, and then we know how much he gets underneath their skin. And so he's a guy that has given Giannis as much trouble as anybody, scoring effectively and efficiently against him. So I really believe the set. And then the two bigs, Cantor and Tice, I mean, in the pick and roll, the five-out spread, the Boston likes to run, those two guys have found their niche. Cantor pounded it inside, doing a great job getting it to the paint and scoring. And then Tice can knock down a three-point shot and roll. That's some really surprising athleticism. So I really believe the Celtics, to me, even though they're not deep, I think those four scores that they have are going to put a lot of pressure on the Milwaukee wings, Matthews and Middleton, to defend at a high level every night in order to beat them in a series.
When you look at this Bucks team, as we're talking to Marcus Johnson here on CBS Sports Radio, and like we said, last year they were the one seed. This year the talk has been whatever they do in the regular season, let's wake up and see what happens in the postseason. Is there at all a mental concern there when you look at this team? I don't see it. It looks like they have great team chemistry, but is there a mental concern until they actually punch through about those guys getting over the hump? Because if they don't do it this year, you start to wonder, when are they going to be able to do it?
Well, and you mentioned the operative word, but I use it in another context. You say punch, but once you get punched in the mouth, you know what I mean? That's when you'll know how they respond. And that's the thing that bugged me. Even though it was a scrimmage game against the New Orleans Pelicans, you didn't mean a whole lot, but the starting units on the floor, and they kind of got lost in a fog once some of the adversity hit in the third quarter of that game. I think they got outscored 18-2 at one point. J.J. went off from the three-point line. But that's going to be the big key. The chemistry is great. The coaching staff is good as any as I've been around. But again, you know, the memory of last year being up 2-0, going to Toronto, having a chance to go up 3-0 and blowing that game three there and then losing four in a row the way they did. There's going to be some interesting mental battles team-wise and individually with this Milwaukee team. Giannis has got to knock down some shots, and we know that that's not the strength of his game, but good teams, Toronto or Boston, Miami, they're not going to allow him to get to the paint and just put that kind of stress on the rim. And so we'll see overall just collectively how they fare. But I believe the experience of failure last year in the conference finals will be something that these guys will build on. I got a lot of trust, respect, and faith in their ability to have the kind of mental toughness it's going to take to weather that and get through it.
Is Giannis the MVP of the league this year?
Regular season, without question, man. But see, my thing, man, is I've been this way for years and years. Ever since Karl Malone beat out Michael Jordan, it was a media collusion. All the media got together and told him that Michael's won it enough. Karl's had a great year, a comparable year. Let's give it to Karl. He wasn't the MVP. My thing is, like, wait until the playoffs are over with electronic and computerized voting. Wait until it's all said and done. And Giannis may still be the MVP. Even if the Bucks were not to win a championship, then he could still have a great postseason and be deserving. But if you base it on the regular season, you can't give it to anybody else but Giannis. Even though LeBron came on strong late, Giannis' consistency from day one. I mean, the guy averaged almost 30 points a game, 14 rebounds, played just under 31 minutes a game. Come on, give me a break. I mean, Giannis, and defensively, we're talking about Giannis as one of the top two or three candidates for defensive player of the year. So you look at what he does at both ends of the floor, it's hands down Giannis Antetokounmpo back-to-back this year and well-deserving.
How about his future? That's the million-dollar question, the multi-million-dollar question in Milwaukee. Is he going to stay? Break down the chances that Giannis is going to re-sign with the Bucks coming up in 2 years.
Well, I mean, you know, a lot depends on what happens this year. You know, and again, it's not the Kawhi dynamic that, well, you know, if you win a championship, maybe he feels like he's provided the people of Milwaukee kind of what he can and all he can give them is a championship. I feel like Giannis likes the city. He likes the lifestyle here. You're making $40+ million a year with a big contract. You know, do you want to have that kind of money living in Miami, Los Angeles, you know, New York or Brooklyn or the Bay Area? If it's me, that's a tough choice. But I'm from Los Angeles. Giannis, I think he's found a home here, and I feel really comfortable, especially with the chemistry of the team, as you mentioned, but also more importantly, the coaching staff and how they approach things. I think he really feels at peace and at ease with himself in this environment, and I could see him being a guy with his loyalty, with his sensibilities that he has, kind of finishing out the string kind of where he started.
When he walked in as the 15th overall pick in 2013, when was the first time, how long did it take for you to realize that this kid is better than advertised and he was really going to take the league by storm, Marcus Johnson?
Well, it wasn't until I started working with the Bucks 5 years ago. He was 20, just turning 21 November, December, whenever his birthday is. But when I got to see him every night and stand next to him, see the length and see the arms and the ability to finish, coast to coast and the Euro steps and just the not so much the flair for the game, but his skill level, being able to handle the ball the way he handles the ball. He played point guard a lot in Greece, kind of coming up when he was 14, 15, 16 years old. So he's always been like that primary ball handler. And that's why I give credit to Jason Kidd, who realized, I think it was my second year here or so, when Jason put him at the point guard and he finished up the season with 4 or 5 triple-doubles. And you could see him really starting to understand what it was all about in terms of NBA and creating and all that and setting up teammates. So it was about that my first year, but he's about 20, 21 years old. And I think we all kind of knew. And then watching him work and watching his work ethic and watching the film session and film study on flights right after games when he scored 40, he's sitting in the back with Sean Sweeney breaking down what he could have done better in that game to make himself a better basketball player. When you see a guy that has that kind of drive, you know that he's destined for great things, especially when you couple that with the physical tools that God has blessed Giannis with.
I know Giannis and Jason Kidd are very close, and when Jason was up for the Knicks job, there was a thought here in New York, oh, well, this is what the Knicks are doing again. Maybe they'll bring in Jason to try to get Giannis Antetokounmpo, and we've heard that a lot with coaches being brought in with different free agency players in the past. When you look back at Jason Kidd's time as a coach, how do you think his future will be in this league as a coach? What are the things that you did like? Because we've seen him before with that quick sip of coffee with the Nets and then also get an opportunity with the Bucks.
Well, yeah, and I like Jason a lot. I like him as a coach. I mean, yeah, he could have been better in terms of communication. I think with Jason, I think he was probably, and I don't consider it tough because I'm old school, and you know, you blast a guy in film session, and you ride a guy and get on him about certain elements of the game that he's not doing well, and you do it, and you don't nurture. You get in there and just kind of, talk trash to a guy and embarrass him in front of the team. That's one of the things that Jason was criticized for with these young Buck basketball players. So, but you mentioned Jason and the Knicks, and that set up for Giannis. I just thought about Jason in L.A. with Kostas Antetokounmpo being a Laker also. I mean, you can kind of see kind of where the Lakers are trying to set some things up for the future themselves. So, but Jason, I think, will get another opportunity. I think being with Frank Vogel is a great move by him, kind of sitting back as an assistant, learning from a guy who was really great. Jason was a great defensive player, but Frank Vogel is a great defensive coach. I think there's some things that Jason can learn from being around a guy like a Frank Vogel and that whole staff in terms of how to put a solid defense together. So Jason will be back as a head coach someplace, somewhere, and I think it'll be sooner than later.
Last one for Marcus Johnson. Got to take you back to your college days, the 2 years that you got to spend with John Wooden. What's the lasting memory of being able to play for the legendary Coach Wooden?
Well, I mean, for me, it's having Coach Wooden go out as a champion, go out as number one. His 10th championship in 12 years after he had announced to us, after we beat Louisville in the semifinals in 1975, that, the next game against Kentucky would be his last game. He was retiring. And Andre McCarter, our great point guard from Overbrook High School in Philly, brought the team together. Said, look, man, there's no way in the world we're going to let Coach go out and not be a winner. And for us to go out there and beat a great Kentucky team and give him his just due, that plus on a non-basketball level, just one of the most genuine people that I've ever been around. I mean, I could just go out to his apartment in Encino, his condo in Encino, during his last 4 or 5 years on Earth and just hang out and talk sports, talk life, watch talk shows, do whatever. And he was just a really, really good guy to be around, and miss him every day. But it was one of the highlights of my life to be the first Wooden Award winner, but even more importantly, to have had an opportunity to play for him for his final 2 years as a head coach.
Marcus, really appreciate you doing this. And by the way, I'm taking the over. I think when you're 66, 67, 68, 69, 70, you're still going to be dunking, my friend.
Oh, the pressure's on, man. Okay, I gotta get off these donuts again. I gotta get these Krispy Kremes down, man. Right, that's what you're telling me. All right.
There's Marcus Johnson, final installment of the Bubble Breakdown. It's a Zach Gelb show on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.